Hi, you're listening to the Well Podcast, living water for a thirsty world. Join us every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock and 10:30.
Let us read together. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Some of the Pharisees from the crowd told him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He answered, "I tell you, if they were to keep silent, the stones would cry out." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus enters into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. The crowd is in a frenzy. They're shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna." The Pharisees are there grumbling, seeing what looks to be insurrection, a flash mob, if you will. And the Romans are there silently looking at a distance, making sure that no one steps out of line. It looks as if the revolution has begun. It sounds too good to be true. And it is. Palm Sunday, or as sometimes I like to call it, Cloak in the Road Sunday. In the Gospel of Luke, there are no palm branches. Palm branches are from the Gospel of Matthew. In the Gospel of Luke, the people lay their cloaks in the road for Jesus, which is a sign of Jesus being a king. The palm branches are a sign of independence. Israel's independence. And we've talked about that before. When you go to the Holy Land and you look at the synagogues that they've unearthed, there are palm branches carved in the stone because it's a symbol of independence, of Israel's independence. So they're in the Gospel of Matthew, they're waving palm branches, which is like waving the American flag, saying, "Save us, save us." In the Gospel of Luke, the people are laying their cloaks in the road as a symbol of Jesus' kingship, which we read actually it's in 2 Kings. The people lay their cloaks on the road for the king to come in. So Cloak on the Road Sunday, or Palm Sunday, however you want to say it, is a story heavy with tragic and painful self-reflecting irony. The crowd is shouting, "Blessed is the King." And the Pharisees reply, "Jesus, order your disciples to stop." And Jesus says, "If I ask them to stop, then the stones themselves will start singing. The rocks will start singing. It's Jesus' first rock song." Thank you. Didn't know how that would play out. But it's Jesus, the stones themselves will rock out. Thank you. Yes, exactly. And these rock songs is rock song. Is that on purpose? Is something breaking? Okay, good. Just want to know if I have to like duck and cover. Just let me know. This is reminding us of Habakkuk. And I know that you are all well-versed in Habakkuk, or Habakkuk, or no one knows how to say it. It's an Old Testament book of a prophet. That's what it says, chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. "Alas for you who get evil." This is what Jesus, when he says, "The rocks will sing for themselves," it's a slight to the Pharisees. He's shoving it in the Pharisees' face because those singing rocks are from Habakkuk, chapter 2, which says, "Alas for you who get evil gain for your houses, setting your nest high to be safe from reach of harm. You have devised shame for your house by cutting off many people. You have forfeited your life. The very stones will cry out from the wall, and plaster will respond from the woodwork." So when the Pharisees say, "Jesus, tell your people to stop," Jesus quotes saying, "You from your lofty ivory tower, if I tell them to stop, then the tower which you have erected will start to sing and shout and crumble. So let them sing. Let them sing." These singing rocks also, it's an interesting verse anyway, Jesus talks about singing rocks. It also reminds us of Jesus' temptation in the desert. Jesus is there and he's been fasting for 40 days, which is code word in the Bible for a long time. When you see 40, it means a long time. And he's hungry. He's been fasting. So the devil comes and the devil says, "Jesus, I know you're hungry. Turn these stones into bread." And Jesus says, no, because if I turn them into bread, then they can't sing with me on the last days when I enter into Jerusalem in glory. Then the devil shows Jesus the kingdoms of the world. And the devil says, if you bow down and worship me, I will give all of this to you. And Jesus, looking at the kingdoms of the world, I would imagine in that moment, he's hearing the crowd shout, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. And it gave Jesus great pause. Because they're not saying, blessed is the Holy Rabbi. They're not saying, blessed is the Son of God. They're saying, Jesus, we want to put a crown of gold upon your head and put you in the palace that Rome is occupying. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. So Jesus, resisting the second temptation, the devil brings him to the pinnacle of the temple. And the devil says, throw yourself down, for God will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn. And Jesus replies, it is not I who will be leaving the temple. Satan, if we're done here, I'm headed to the temple to drive out the money changers and the thieves who have turned my father's house into nothing but a department store. It is not I who will be leaping from the temple. So the devil left for an opportune moment. This moment in Palm Sunday or Cloak on the Road Sunday or Passion Sunday, however you define that, is to remind us of Jesus' temptation. Because we like to think that after Jesus was tempted in the desert, that he came back and was never, ever tempted again with anything. But here we are on Palm Sunday, and he's coming into the town. They're shouting, ah, the King has arrived. Have you ever woken up on Easter morning and gone to your Easter basket and you see that big chocolate bunny? And you, yes, and you unwrap the, thank you for answering, by the way. Yeah, it's upper middle class white Protestant congregations don't do a lot of that. So I appreciate it. Have you ever seen that big chocolate bunny in your basket? Yes, of course you have. And you unwrap it, and there's a strange moment because the bunny always has like the shocked look on its face because the candy eye is not quite right. You know, so do you eat the head first, which is kind of weird, or do you eat the tail first, which is just kind of not right? And what do you do? So you kind of like bite the neck of this rabbit like something out of Monty Python. You do, you know. And what happens is you bite the rabbit, and you realize that like 95% of it is air. How disappointing, right? And it just like, it crumbles, right? This is like what the crowd is saying on Palm Sunday. They're saying, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the King. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. But most of what they are saying is empty and hollow. Have you ever wondered why the crowd is shouting Hosanna one day, and just a few days later they're shouting crucify him? Jesus was not crucified because he was a nice guy who followed the rules, and he carries sheep with him and is glowing. Jesus was crucified because he did not meet the expectation of the crowd's Messiah. The crowd wanted a king. They wanted someone to occupy the temple. They wanted someone to occupy the palace and to kick Rome out and to be king of Israel. So they're shouting, kings, Hosanna does not, it means save us. And it does not mean spiritually. They're shouting, save us. Save us from Rome. And then Jesus got arrested and beaten up and spat upon. And the crowd that was shouting Hosanna says, this is not what we expected of our king who would kick Rome out. We don't want our king to be humiliated. We don't want our king to be beaten up. You know what? I think we're done with you. Palm Sunday is like a mirror that shows you what you don't want to see. The crowd, instead of allowing Jesus to be the definition of Messiah, they're asking Jesus to conform to their definition of Messiah. And when God does not deliver, we get angry. When our prayers go unanswered, we get upset, no matter how selfish our prayer might be. When our desires go unmet, when God does not fulfill our desires, we get mad, no matter how misguided that desire might be. When Jesus does not meet their expectation, they're done with him. Palm Sunday is painfully ironic, and it should give us pause that the crowd shouted Hosanna one day and then crucify him the next. It's the crowd that said, instead of saying, "Here I am, send me," they're saying, "Why don't you come down to our level, Lord, because we like where we are." Palm Sunday is a reminder of Jesus' temptation. It's also a mirror showing us the tragic reflection of human brokenness. And it's all the evidence that Pontius Pilate needs. They send Jesus to Pontius Pilate, and Jesus is there in front of the crowds. And Pontius Pilate says, "I find nothing against this man. But don't for a minute think that Pilate is innocent. Pilate is the best of politicians." Listen to what happens. He dangles Jesus in front of the crowd. He says, "I have nothing to charge him with." "Well, what are your charges?" And the people say, "We found this man perverting our nation, forbidding us to pay taxes to the emperor, and saying that he himself is Messiah, a king." So Pilate says, "Fine. Jesus, are you a king?" And Jesus says, "You say so." So Pilate's like, "I got nothing." Pilate, who works for Rome, is saying, "Sorry, friends, I can't have him crucified. There are no charges against him." As if Rome ever considered the factual charges against someone before stringing them up. Especially someone who's causing an insurrection. Especially someone who is stirring up the crowd saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, our king is here." But Pilate, "I find nothing against this man." So the people say, well, he's charging us to rise up against the government. Pilate says, "No, it's not good enough." "Oh, but he said we aren't to pay taxes," because that's not on our minds today. "He says we're not supposed to pay taxes." And Pilate says, "You know well and good that if soldiers come to your house with a sword, you're going to pay your taxes. It's not good enough." Because Pilate is going for the throat. In the Gospel of John, Pilate says over and over again that he finds no charge against Jesus. And he whips him and flogs him, puts a crown of thorns on Jesus and a purple cloak. And Pilate says, "Shall I crucify your king?" And then the crowd says, "We have no king but Caesar." And that's when Pilate says, "Thank you. That's what I was after. Because I can't wait to call Caesar and tell him that on a high, holy Jewish day, the Jewish religious elite have just denounced their faith and claimed that Caesar is their only king. Thank you. Now I am done with you, Jesus. Take him to be crucified. I've just had this crowd admit that Caesar is their God. Thank you for playing your part." Don't for a minute think that Pilate is he's washing his hands, and he's the innocent one, and the crowd forced me to make this decision. The crowd, how many Pilate? "Well, I got a lot of phone calls on my voicemail, so on Capitol Hill, I have to vote this way." He is the best politician. You asked for him to be crucified. Take him. The bridge of our song, Bargain, Bargain by the Who, says, I sit, the bridge, the end part, it says, "I sit looking around, I look at my face in the mirror, I know I'm worth nothing without you." Now, it starts to sound like devotion, doesn't it? I am worth nothing without you. And then it says, "In life, one and one don't make two. One and one make one. Christ, I am nothing without you. When you are united to me, we are one. The spirit of you is living in me." It sounds so good. And then you get to that last line where it says, I'm looking for that free ride to me. I'm looking for you. That's what the crowd was really shouting on that day when Jesus entered into Jerusalem. We're looking for the easy road to ourselves. The good news is that Jesus knew that and died for us anyway. The good news is that Jesus is our judge, and he's also a judge who died for us while we were yet sinners, proving God's love for us. The good news is that Jesus knows us and still loves us. Hosanna in the highest. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.